Thank you, Kim. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. And we are joined right now by the feisty yet incorrigible Tribune columnist Eric Zorn.
Why do you get two?
Well, last week, Wendy, you said that you thought that feisty worked for me so
that
well
was the
that we would just keep it. And then I
so now you're going to keep adding, so ultimately it's going to be like a big wang-dang-doodle, chitty-chitty-bang-bang. You're just going to keep going?
Exactly. Chitty-chitty-bang-bang, your fine four-fendered friend.
Oh, very nice. Very nicely done. So. Tell us something incorrigible you've done of late. What's an incorrigible act of yours?
Well, I mean, if I told you,
then it would be
indiscreet, and that
right.
would be another adjective you'd have to add to me. So,
right. But we were talking at the beginning of the show about the events of the weekend, Eric, the Trump rally that wasn't. I imagine you have a thought or two about what went on.
Oh, yeah, I do. I really do. I missed it. Johanna had it over there, my wife. She wanted to see what was going on, but Did she go to it? She didn't get inside. She went to sort of. She wanted to contribute to the volume of people outside.
Yeah.
And then she left before all hell broke loose. But
why did she leave?
A little bit
curious.
Of hell broke loose, I should say. Well, she and I had some other engagement.
Okay, so she was just kind of checking out the
scene. She was checking out the scene, and she wanted to be there and see what was going on. But no, I mean, my thought is that this story worked out really well for Donald Trump, that, you know, in Chicago, where this is for a liberal democratic city, this was seen as a victory for the protesters, that we shut him down, we silenced him, and so on. I think around the country, among Republican primary voters, the idea that Donald Trump couldn't hold a rally in the city because all these young ethnic protesters were shouting him down, I think it plays really well to his base. And
his rights to freedom of speech were infringed upon.
Totally violated.
Yeah. His rights. And of course, you know, the Constitution really doesn't come into play literally, obviously, because the First Amendment has to do with what the government can do to your freedom of speech. But the spirit of the First Amendment says that you have a right to speak and the people who want to hear you have a right to hear you. And that these protesters were threatening that sort of what I would call a social right. And this, I think this plays really well among in terms of how this is seen by his supporters and people who are thinking about supporting him, which is that this guy is speaking such righteous truth, they're thinking, that these young people can't stand to hear him speak. And they're shutting him down, they're silencing him, and he is a martyr. And that's really what I worry about with this situation, is that when you go and you exhibit your solidarity and your objection to him by gathering outside the arena, but even by going inside and holding up signs, but clearly the object of these protesters was to shut down the rally. They were going to disrupt it as often as they could.
Do you think they meant to shut it down or just to show, hey, we don't like this?
There was a lot of glee that I saw reported after the event was canceled. They were, you know, we stopped Trump and you know, na-na, hey, goodbye, and so on. That there was a sense that they had silenced him. And, you know, as repugnant as his message is to a lot of us, I do think that you run the risk of looking like you're putting your heel on him in some way, and like I said, making him a martyr. And that was when I was seeing this coverage and seeing it, you know, watching it play out over the weekend on the national media, that's the kind of thing that I was seeing, which was that, you know, these rallies are getting increasingly, you know, what would be the word, you know,
violent,
but they're volatile. At least volatile. And my guess is that what Trump people thought when they scheduled this rally at the UIC, I mean, for goodness sake, what an odd place in the middle, you know, in a very diverse campus,
right.
In the middle of a very diverse campus, in a very diverse city, a Democratic city, to schedule this rally for this polarizing Republican figure. I got the feeling that they were kind of hoping that this would turn into a spectacle that would reflect well on Trump. Some of the developments then, as the week went on, before that, were with the guy who cold-cocked the African-American man at a different Trump rally.
Yeah.
Things were getting more and more out of hand. I think Trump saw this, and he saw the number of people who had gone into the arena. The tickets were sold. I don't know how they were passing them out free. You could just go to Eventbrite and get tickets.
Yeah,
there was no sense of control trying to paper the house with Trump supporters. So this was going to be a really rowdy event. And I think that the fear was that Trump supporters were going to lash out violently. I think the actual fear was not that the protesters were going to get violent with the Trump people, but that the Trump people were going to get violent back.
Can you put some headphones on? Because Jim was at the rally, and he might want to address what you just said. Hi, Jim.
Hi.
You were at the rally?
Yeah. And what I saw was these anti-Trump protesters were out of control, swearing at people who they didn't agree with. There was no engagement of conversation. I saw an attempt to engage in, you know, a political conversation with the Trump people, but that was not reciprocated on the other side. They were yelling, spitting. I saw one guy just because he had, you know, he was talking to people. He got maced right in the face. And, you know, the reporters, you know where the reporters were during this whole time? When, like, Trump people were getting backed into a corner, they were hiding behind the Trump people. And I'm talking about NBC Chicago. I saw a woman hide. I mean, there were all these reporters hiding with the under the relative safety behind the Trump supporters. They didn't want to go in the crowd of the anti-Trump supporter or anti-Trump protesters.
Now, I wasn't there, but I thought that the reporters were, like, kept in a bullpen inside the...
You know what? They had no reason to be, because they could have freely walked out, like I saw a few did, but they didn't want to go out where these anti-Trump protesters were, because some of them devolved into attacking people right out on the street because they had a Trump hat on.
But I want to say something too, Jim.
Myself.
Jim, this was never going to be...
I didn't believe what the media would tell me, and I'm glad I did. Because I saw, what I saw was Trump people being civil and being, like, verbally attacked to the point where, like, in your face, till there's a crowd surrounding someone, till eventually, like, someone spit on you or, you know, mace you. I'm not saying all the protesters are out of control, but most of them were, and they didn't even really understand their protest, now, which is kind of funny.
Now, Jim, do you...
really didn't want to interested in... what other people thought.
This was never going to be a peaceful rally.
Racist. Well, right. Why did they go? And you know what? I walked through the line beforehand, and I was like, I can't believe they're holding this event. I knew half of these people going in were going to protest, or not even protest, to act violent. And then they said they were on tape beforehand. I mean, it was pretty obvious what was going to happen, and I knew that was going to happen. And I don't think those protesters did themselves a favor. I think they showed the world how open-minded they are to other people's thoughts.
But their argument would say that Trump supporters do not have their finger on the pulse of what's going on either.
Well,
that's what the
I
protest is.
So the conversations I saw, it seemed like they were the Trump people were the informed people. And the anti-protesters weren't even interested in hearing the other side of the story.
Jim, this is
swearing and, you know, and just calling people, like, accusing people names. Race, go home. Large groups of people surrounding, like, old ladies, like, scaring them. And it was like, it was a joke. It was a shame.
Well,
is what I thought.
Well, Jim, do you
be not proud of it?
Jim, do you think? I mean, my analysis is that this is the story that's going that certainly will animate Republican base voters and potential Trump supporters, that this story...
Well, you know what they're going to say? We're not going to have our voices shut down, especially when these people think... This is what the brown shirts used to do when Hitler came to rise to power, was shut down opposing political rallies.
They did not shut anything down, Jim.
They absolutely did shut it down.
They were protesting.
It was shut. You know, there's a point where protesting and then screaming in someone's face, and then with a large group of people and some people getting away with, you know, actually committing, like, an assault on these people. I saw a guy gets, you know, he's giving his point of view. Eventually, like, you know, there's tons of people surrounding him, yelling at him, swearing at him, not even giving him a chance to talk. And eventually they just squirt him in the eyes with pepper spray. And I saw reporters right near there watching that. They didn't do anything to report that. Of course, they were, like I said, they were hiding behind the relative safety of the only people who were acting civil.
See, Jim,
and that
I think
was not the streets. That was not in the crowd.
I think that Jim's account, what you're hearing from Jim, is what is the story that is being told, and is the understanding of this event around the country right now, and especially in pockets of Republican voters, which is like, hey, this Democratic scene wouldn't let Donald Trump speak. And
if not Donald Trump speak, they wouldn't let anybody speak of opposing.
Well, just like Donald Trump, who doesn't let anyone speak.
Yeah, there's
Jim.
Some levels of irony there.
Jim, Donald Trump.
It wasn't met with a cordial conversation. It was met with shouts, screams.
Exactly like Donald Trump does.
Actually, no, I never saw any Donald Trump people acting out of control. And I'm not, like, taking Donald Trump's side. I'm going to vote for Ted Cruz. I think Donald Trump is actually a plant for Hillary Clinton just to get his nugget. It's very high.
Well, there's another level.
I mean, Hillary Clinton has now got a chance to win because Donald Trump's negatives are so high. But here's the point, is Donald Trump's people, or the people who are going to see him, were acting civil. I studied this because I heard all the, you know, whatever beforehand. I knew what, like, to expect, and I knew what they were going to try to tell us, and it just didn't, it's not,
Jim, what about that Trump supporter? Jim, what about that Trump supporter who punched a protester? Is that civil?
Yeah, I mean, no, that's not civil, but they did. The guy, these people go into the arenas, they give finger, they instigate. Eventually they get in your face, and then someone from behind maybe pops you. I don't know, but if you saw the floor on the tape of that, it looked like it was all planned. And you know what? When I saw that line outside that door, I was like, this thing is a joke. How do they not know what's going to happen?
Hey, Jim,
they knew what was going to happen.
We got
to
take
you
a break, but thank you for your input, and we appreciate you calling.
Really interesting.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
All right, there's opposing viewpoints, of course, on the phone lines and the text. Yeah, you'd be shocked
on
to learn
subject?
This. Yes, yes. 312-981-7200. Different people saw different things on Friday. We'll get to that next. It's Bill and Wendy, along with Eric Zorn on WGN. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And Tribune columnist Eric Zorn is with us as well. Chicago certainly has a history of having interesting nights in politics. This past Friday night was one of them, as the Donald Trump rally is canceled at the last minute. I have to tell you very, very strangely, and we have a lot of calls, so we'll get to those. On Friday, I was walking back. I was at Marina Tower and then walking back here to Tribune Tower, and I took Lower Wacker, and I was right by the underfloor of Trump Tower, and there were four guys wearing tuxedos looking very kind of sad. They all had the same kind of sad look on their face, and I said, hey, guys, as I was walking past, and I had no idea what was going on, was Trump staying at Trump Tower? Could they have either just had some contact with him moments ago, or were they awaiting him? Do we know if he was staying there?
I'm guessing that he stayed there. I know that
he'd get a good rate.
A group of protesters came over to the tower, Trump Tower, after the event at UIC was canceled, a smaller contingent of them, and they were controlling access to that building. So.
Oh, they were.
So I'm guessing he stayed there.
Because that's more than likely the entrance he would take. It's the Lower Wacker entrance. Nobody even knows it's there.
He may stay at La Quinta, though.
Maybe. He's saving money. You know? Yeah, maybe. All right, 312-981-7200 is our phone line and our text line. Let's get your thoughts on what went on Friday.
And we had listener Jim who called in, who was not a Trump supporter per se. He said he's voting for Ted Cruz, but he wanted to go check it out, and he said the protesters were the problem.
Yeah.
Bob, you disagree with that caller, Jim?
Well, yeah, actually, I was for Trump in the very beginning. I liked his ideas because they bordered my own, not all of them, of course. But then when I started researching him, I realized he really didn't have a solid logical plan for correcting any of the problems. Everything was, well, I'll get it done, everybody likes me, and blah, blah, blah. But I was thinking when Jim was talking that I think it also could energize the anti-Trump people because they figure that same thing. They're trying to, you know, we want him out of there because whatever thought they might have, for instance, he's a racist or we don't like. So now we see these the pro-Trump people are going to protect him, and I better get out and vote or he's going to get, because he has a rock solid core. It's kind of a quasi-coalition. You've got angry people, like all of us are by government and so forth and always have been. You've got people who have either lost jobs or they don't feel they're getting promoted or have jobs that pay well. And you have the racist group. And there is a racist group. Now, all these people have an agenda. And they see Trump as the savior. And they figure if he's not allowed to get the message out, we feel he's going to win the presidency. And if he can't get his message out, he won't win it, and then we are lost. Our savior is gone. I mean, I was just checking some of the groups that support. Of course, you all know about David Duke,
right?
And some things he said. But then there's
we know who he is, but Trump doesn't seem to remember who he is. But
I don't know who this David Duke guy is.
Yeah, even though he's
but he loves me
several times over the years.
All right, get to your point, Bob. I hate to hurry you up, but we have to hurry you up.
Well, what I'm saying is there's Jared Taylor, there's Michael Hill, there's all kinds of white supremacists that are on record as saying. In fact, one fellow, this will scare you to death. His name is Jim Shirley from Alabama. He said he hopes that Trump will win and issue licenses. Get this, to hunt the undocumented immigrants. And offer a $50 bounty for confirmed kill.
All right. Well, Bob,
that's a bad idea.
Thank you very much for calling
how so,
in.
Eric? Please explain yourself.
What could go wrong?
Please explain yourself. By the way, this is a tweet from Donald Trump, because there were allegations that Bernie Sanders has stirred his supporters up to disrupting Trump's rallies. So this is a Trump from a tweet from Donald Trump yesterday. Bernie Sanders is lying when he says his disruptors aren't told to go to my events. Be careful, Bernie, or my supporters will go to yours.
Yeah.
That's what scares me more than anything is where we are now and where we could be in a couple of weeks or months.
We just don't have a real tradition in this country of political speech being drowned out, especially in political campaigns where a candidate cannot speak, feels that he cannot speak.
Right.
And I think this is why this whole idea of Trump as martyr is being pushed forward, and why it's scary to me because it does. I think it animates people who were inclined to vote for Trump or were thinking about it, but now they think, well, this guy must really have something to say because these other people are so intent on keeping him quiet and making sure that I don't get to hear him. I just think that, you know, part of our culture is that people are allowed to speak their mind and then you're allowed to yell and scream about it yourself. But the idea that I'm going to drown you out, I'm not going to let you express your viewpoint, I think is un-American.
And who started that, in your opinion? Because that's what Trump is
to
me.
Absolutely. I'm not saying that Trump is a hero. I'm not saying that Trump is this hero, this martyr. I'm saying that this is the pose that he's allowing him.
I wasn't attacking you, but I'm just pointing out that he's the one, because someone just texted 815, that's exactly what's wrong with this country and why we're so divided. No one wants to listen to anyone else's ideas or beliefs. Such an arrogance in this country to not be so proud of. I used to serve this country in the service, and it was so patriotic. This circus is shameful. But who's listening to anyone else when Donald Trump speaks? It's like my way or the highway kind of thing. Get him out of here. He, in my opinion, is just bringing this to the forefront so his supporters will be like that. No one's going to have a peaceful talk at a rally, at a Donald Trump rally, because he's not peaceful.
Right. And he's also expressed some reservations about freedom of the press. I mean, he's talking about, well, we'll see what ways we can shut down some of the criticism and so on. I mean,
He should have showed up and tried to bring both sides together, and, you know, he wussed out.
Everybody hold hands now.
Kumbaya moment with Donald Trump.
Is this the moment where we should be scared, or should we have already been scared weeks or months ago?
I don't think quite yet.
Not
but
yet.
We're getting there. Let's see how the elections go. We didn't get to talk about it.
Vote tomorrow.
Elections tomorrow. The results are going to be really important.
Eric tell you that he called the protest problem?
Did you?
Mincing Rascals, we recorded it Friday morning, and he said, I really think something's going to happen here Friday night.
Yeah.
Chicago is not Trump country, is what I said.
Go to WGNplus.com to listen to that. I kind of am fearing for Trump's life, if you want to know the truth.
Oh, dear.
I mean, really?
Sort of like George Wallace, that kind of
situation?
I
don't know.
I think they're much better protected now than they used to be.
I'm getting a bad vibe.
Were there metal detectors at that rally? Were they checking people as they came in?
I think Friday?
There is at a school, so at UIC probably has it.
I would certainly hope so.
That's Eric Zorn of the Chicago Tribune. Read him whenever you get the chance. Thank you, Eric. We appreciate it. We'll talk to Steve Bertrand next, find out what's coming up on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.